This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
January milk production was a bit surprising to most in the industry, up 0.9% in the U.S. on a herd that is 89,000 cows lower than the prior year. Very strong milk per cow in January drove those milk production gains. We'll have to see this week if weather and cold conditions across the U.S. impacted those February milk numbers at all.
Lucas Fees, Director of Dairy Market Intelligence for High Ground Dairy in Chicago.
Tuesday.
Janet Keller joins us, the new Professional Dairy Producers Foundation Executive Director. Congratulations, Janet.
Well, thank you, Bill. I really am humbled and certainly appreciative of my new position and role with the dairy producers here, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country. Our role is to support educational and leadership and resource efforts for the dairy industry, not only here in Wisconsin with a lot of the programming that the PDPW group does, but also with other groups across the nation, states like Pennsylvania and Iowa and Indiana and other places that are trying to get started with similar efforts or perhaps have a unique program and they need a little bit of financial support. It is our job to help build those relationships.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
Yes, now more than ever, it's important to invest. In fact, if you look back at the history of Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin organization and also of the foundation, the history started back when times were a little challenging and the industry was under a little bit of stress. And now more than ever, it's important to invest and to learn, to prepare our next generation, and to make sure that we connect with consumers and other stakeholders in our communities. And so issues that are producer-driven, like water quality and land stewardship, youth leadership, those types of programs are vitally important to our industry right now.
Wednesday.
Connie Cooper from Connor AgriScience joins us.
We teach making drive-over piles and bunker piles, and about making proper density using pack tractor weight that's appropriate for the number of tractors and silage that's coming into the pile. And we also teach about silage safety and staying safe around piles. And in fact, we have a coloring book this year that we've developed for children that can be used for children of any age to teach them about the safety and being careful around silage piles.
Good idea. Get them started early on that because, you know, it doesn't really matter how tall those piles are when you've got a little one running around, does it?
No, not at all. We have a friend of ours in California that is also friends with the Keith Bolson family, who is a nutritionist and was had a broken back from a silage avalanche on a 12-foot pile. And so it doesn't matter how tall they are. You need to be very careful and stay three times the height away from a silage pile at all times.
Have a buddy with you in the process.
Absolutely, yes. And wear a safety vest so you can be seen.
Thursday.
Chris, the National Milk Producers Federation has voiced strong support recently for this Dairy Pride Act.
The attempt now with a new Congress and in particular a new House of Representatives under new management to tackle an issue that we've been working on for the past couple of years, and that is getting the Food and Drug Administration to enforce its existing standards defining milk as the product of an animal. Therefore, things that are made from plants should not be able to use dairy terms like milk or cheese or ice cream. The Dairy Pride Act would simply require the FDA to enforce those standards within a certain timetable. So that's why we supported the legislation in the last Congress. It didn't get approved ultimately by either the House or the Senate, but I think even the presence of the legislation and the fact that you had a bipartisan group of lawmakers in the House and the Senate last time supporting this legislation, that helped keep the fire under FDA's feet. And that's why we support the legislation again now as it's been introduced here in 2019.
Friday.
Certainly, there are several different ways that we can feed minerals to our dairy cattle. The gold standard, of course, is to force feed it. In other words, put it into a grain mix, put it into my total mix ration, so that every bite the cow takes, theoretically, she has access. The second choice, letting the cow go out or the heifer go out and decide, well, today I think I'll eat at this compartment or that compartment over there. Another alternative is to inject. This is fairly popular in trace mineral programs. And, of course, the fourth one is to make our minerals water-soluble and administer them through water or through a liquid feeding system on the dairy farm. So the take-home message on free trace minerals is that you want to be sure you have the base program squared away. It is a bit controversial here, but it's another way to top off cows that crave extra mineral. Thanks.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.